It's wonderful to be here and be a part of this this Christmas service. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I want to talk to you about when Jesus was born. I thought that might be appropriate today. And it actually says this. I'm going to read it to you from the New King James Version. Luke 2, 1 to 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus and his family were normal people. Jesus was a normal guy. Christmas is a miracle through the interaction of a loving God with normal people. Father God lovingly and graciously sent his Son into our world so that we would be able to relate with him. When my son was young, he was probably about 3 or 4 years old, I used to try and teach him. Well, not used to try, because he's a surfer. But when he was about 3 or 4 years old, I'd get in the car and I'd had a pair of little fins that fit on his feet and a tiny little wetsuit, because he was only little at the time, and we had a bodyboard, and we'd go down to the beach, and I'd do my best to teach him how to surf. And as we were, sometimes the waves were quite big, and I'd push him down those waves, and he'd always like sort of come back with this big grin on his face after paddling back out. And sometimes I'm glad his mother wasn't there. Because every now and then, I'd go, "Where has he gone?" And this little, there wasn't much meat on him then. And suddenly there'd be an arm, something would appear, and he'd come back out of the surface, and he'd be all out of breath and red, and he'd go, "Can we do that again?" When my son was a little older than 3 or 4 years old, he graduated to a surfboard, to stand up. And still when he was in primary school, I remember that we took a road trip, father and son. And we went down to a place, we actually surfed at a place called Redgate down south near Margaret River. And I was surfing and he was surfing. I thought, yep, it's time for you to do this on your own. And there I was, trying to surf, but it was still early days. And once again, I'm glad his mum wasn't there. But the thing is, I was constantly just looking around. Where is he? Where is he? Is he okay? I was never far away. My eyes were always watchful. Always I was close by, seeing where he was. And if I lost him for a moment, I'd gaze back. I hardly surfed at all, because I was just looking to make sure that my son was okay. It must have been, I think, the same with God the Father and God the Son. The Father and the Son would have had a great relationship, because there was no sin in heaven. And I'm aware that many family relationships today are not what they could be. What a great reason to be a part of the house and the family of God. The Father sent His Son to earth to be born to normal Joes and Marys. And the Bible says that the Father encouraged the Son. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Father was not the mean one. Turn to your neighbour and say, "The Father was not the mean one." The Son was not just the kind one. You see, I got to thinking about this. It was likely that Jesus and His Father did stuff together in heaven. It could be that they had a game of soccer with the stars. And maybe that's why they're called shooting stars. Sometimes Jesus would just get a little bit too carried away and He'd kick that star too far, and that's why they're called falling stars. The point is, how much love would it take for the Father to give His Son for a stranger, a whole heap of strangers, or even someone who doesn't even care? Then there's Joseph, Jesus' earthly dad, who was a carpenter. In reality, Joseph was Jesus' stepdad. It just goes to show you the depth of love, because Jesus understands. He really knows. And Jesus went to work in the early days with a hard hat on. You've got the picture there of him with his hard hat on, his tool belt, and I'm guessing his lunchbox. He was a normal guy. And Jesus followed his dad in the same trade and was a carpenter up until the time he was 30 years old. So when Jesus started doing miracles, helping people, the people would ask. They'd say stuff like, you know, "Who was that? Who did that for you?" When they got together and they were having conversation around a meal around this time of the year, "Who did that?" "Oh, it was Jesus of Nazareth." "You mean the carpenter?" Because that's how they knew him, because it was Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. "You mean that carpenter? Yeah, he came around to my house. He was a really nice guy. He never overcharged me. He was always talking about God. You know, I gave him a glass of water early in the morning, and the glass lasted all day long." Jesus' family lived in a town called Nazareth. However, they had to go to Bethlehem because there was a census, an official enumeration. We don't do them much here in Australia. An ordered listing of the population with details of age, sex, and occupation. And the reason Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem because they were from the house of David, who was a Bethlehemite. It's where their family line began. They lived in Nazareth. It was about 129 kilometers from Nazareth to Bethlehem. But the normal route for Jewish people was to go around Samaria, because Samaritans generally had bad racial relationships, which made it around a 161-kilometer journey. Now consider this. Mary is 8.5 to 9 months pregnant. She has to travel because it was a strict law. 166 kilometres or 100 miles, fully loaded. She was really pregnant. Now, I was thinking that that would probably be a struggle for most women in this day and age in a car, fully pregnant. But she did it on a donkey. It would have been a 5-day trip. 10 to 12 hours per day traveling. 8.5 to 9 months pregnant on a donkey. 10 to 12 hours a day. I don't know any ladies who would consider doing that trip today. For that matter, I don't know any men who would like to do that trip with any pregnant woman. You see, Jesus was laid in a manger. Contrary to popular belief, Jesus wasn't born in a manger. A manger is not a barn. A manger is actually a feeding trough. I've got it for you here. That's what a manger looked like. And due to the landscape in Israel, it was likely a limestone cave where Jesus was born. Probably the cave where he was born, which doubled as a makeshift barn, because that's what they used to do to just keep the animals all in place back in those days. Probably all the animals were not really facing Jesus. And he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. Swaddling equals strips of cloth. It was a Hebrew tradition to carry burial strips of cloth when they made a trip, because many people in those days actually died on trips. Many times a traveller would come across a person who hadn't made the trip lying on the side of the road. A Hebrew person could not touch, because it was a strict law that they could not touch a body because it was unclean. And so they carried with them these swaddling cloths so that they could carefully wrap the bodies that, if they came across any, on the side of the road. And another reason Joseph and Mary would have had those swaddling cloths with them is that many women died in childbirth back in those days. Mary may have thought, perhaps it is my purpose to deliver the Son of God, but not raise the Son of God. And many people today fulfill this. They are glad that Christ was birthed in them, but really, Christ wants to be raised in you. Christ wants to be raised in you. You can walk a new life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is interesting that baby Jesus, scripture, that he's wrapped in these swaddling cloths I was talking about. We're told in that, just even in that picture, that Jesus was born to die. He came to this earth to pay for our sins, to die on this earth on the cross. Christmas can be a difficult time for many people. It's a time we remember loved ones no longer with us. It's a time of reflection. We may celebrate, but we may also remember or have reflective moments about what we used to have or people we used to know. The reason I bring that up is because God really does know how you and I feel. His Son, the Son he loved dearly, became a human, and God watched his Son die. Jesus' natural father, Joseph, passed away before he did. The Bible says that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, when he was taking on the punishment of our sin, he turned to his mother Mary, and he pointed to one of the disciples, we think it was John, and he said, "This is your son." She's your mother. Go home and live with him. You see, Jesus was a normal guy. He wanted to make sure everything was going to be okay. He was showing the same concern any normal son would have done. And Jesus knows what it's like to put his arms around his mother and walk away from the grave of the one she had loved, probably her high school sweetheart. God really does know how you feel. And during this Christmas time, no matter what you're going through, you can still come to Jesus. We can rejoice that a Savior is born to take away the sins of the world. He is never too far away. And just like I had a watchful, careful eye on my own son when we were surfing down south, so too is Jesus, ever present, never far away. His love is relentless. The best miracle is God sharing his son with you. If the musicians could come, that'd be great. You see, he got real with us. Jesus got real. He's the God, the Son got real with us. Will you get real? You can be free. Will you look to Jesus and what he has done for you? And the life that he shared so that he could die? To take away all our sin and have a freedom and have relationship. He's a normal guy so that we understand. He understands everything about us. He's God who died for you. He's also a normal guy. He understands. He knows what it's like. And so, in a moment, I would like to pray with you. I would love for you to accept today what Jesus has done for you. That he was born to die, paying the price, cancelling the debt of our sin. No one can relate better to you than Jesus because he was a normal guy. And today, I want to ask you if you will make a public stand for Jesus. You see, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We are the only creatures on the planet that can communicate effectively to one another all the time. He's given us a voice so that we can talk to one another. It is when we confess publicly that it transforms our heart. We are saying that we mean business with God. And I would like us to stand to our feet right now, everyone in this auditorium. Can we just have a few moments where we could just stay still in the auditorium? That'd be fantastic. Appreciate that. You see, it may be today that you have never publicly made a decision to follow Jesus. It may be that today you do need to recommit your life to Jesus, as at one time you were with Jesus, but you are not walking with him now. It may be that you are fearful of not going to heaven. So I'd like us to just, as we're standing here, just to bow our heads and close our eyes, every one of us in this auditorium. I would like to be sure today that every person here knows Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. He was God, a normal guy, so that you and I could relate with him, so that we could have the best relationship of all. We are made in his image, the Bible tells us. He had a loving father who sent his son to be born of a virgin, to be raised in a normal family, to die to pay the price for your sins and mine. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. And so I'm going to ask you on the count of three to pop up your hand if you haven't received Jesus as Lord of your life. If today you need to recommit your life, you used to know Him, you used to be in relationship with Him, but you know that you're not following His ways now. You're away from Him. Jesus makes it easy. He just asks that you reconnect with Him. And I'm going to ask you in a moment that on the count of three, you pop up your hand and I'll see it and you can pop it down again. And then I would love to pray with you. I would ask you to come to the and join me. I'm going to come down from these stairs and stand just at the seats at the front. And I would ask that I would pray with you to receive Jesus as Lord of your life. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we will be saved. So if you're here today and you haven't received Jesus as Lord of your life, don't leave it today. It's the best day for you. Maybe today you've walked away from God, you're backslidden, you're away from Him. Come back today. And if you're not sure you're going to heaven, please, in a moment when I ask to count, put up your hand on the count of three, you pop your hand up as well. God loves you. He cares for you. If you don't know Jesus, if you want to recommit your life today or you're not sure you're going to heaven, on the count of three, pop up your hand. No one else will see it except me. One, two, three. Thank you. I see your hand. Is there anyone else this morning? Anyone else say, yeah, that's me. Thank you. I see your hand. Is there anyone else today say, yeah, Pastor, please pray with me. Is there anyone else that says, yeah, I'm just going to give it a few more moments. A couple of people on my left. Is there anyone on my right while I'm looking over this side? Anyone in the middle section? Just give me a wave. I don't want to miss this opportunity to invite Jesus into your heart. You know, if you've come with someone, would you like to come with them to the front? I'd love to meet with you. Would you mind just coming out for your seat and just joining me? I'm right here. I'd love to pray with you. Can you do that? If you can take the courage, that'd be fantastic. Come and join me. Is that you, sweetheart? Hi, I'm Pastor Nigel. Crystal? 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 Crystal. Crystal, fantastic. And there was another person over here. Please, come forward. Let me pray with you. Who was that person? Fantastic. Hey, let's give these guys a hand. It's a brave step they've taken today. Come and join me. What's your name? Tara?
Tara.
Tara, come and join Crystal. It's got a lovely lady here just behind. She's going to help pray this morning. Would you like to invite Jesus as Lord of your life today? Can we pray this prayer together? Let's do this. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. Come into my heart right now. I receive you as Lord of my life. I confess my sin. It's gone. You're a normal guy who wants to relate with me as Savior. I receive everything you have for me. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Crystal and Tara, it's a good day. It's a good day. You know those tears? That's the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. It's going to be okay.
Yes.
God knows. It doesn't matter what you've done. It matters that you've made this decision. And Father, we just commit these beautiful ladies to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit be on them today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Jenny's here. She's just going to give you a Bible and just help you a little bit just for 2 minutes, and then you're going to come back into the service and join us. Is that okay, girls? Fantastic. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand this morning.
Awesome. Fantastic. You know, we believe that Jesus Christ is your best life. There is nothing that you have done, any situation that you have been through, that God cannot be a part of. He wants to be a part of your world. And we just love God and just know that we just have our best life knowing Him. We'd love to, again, as I said earlier, we'd love you to join with us after our service out. You can grab your kids.